Not long ago, I was reading the story of Lot in Genesis chapter 19, the section where Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And it triggered a thought in my mind about how this related to our situation in the world today. And I'd like for us to think about today, how involved in the world are we? And in particular, I'd like for us to look at an example of Lot's wife. She was not ready to leave. And the only thing we really know about Lot's wife is that she looked back. And that's it. We don't know her name. We don't know where she was from. We don't know anything about her. There wasn't a single line of dialogue from her. And for about 2,000 years, this unnamed woman is little more than a footnote in biblical history. Then Jesus tells his disciples in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. This verse has only three words. It's just a short sentence. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the woman who wasn't ready to leave behind a world that God had marked for destruction. Remember the woman who looked back. The area where Sodom and Gomorrah were is now a desolate wasteland at the southern end of the Dead Sea. But at one time, Sodom and Gomorrah were like they were situated in a beautiful green valley, and it's described in Genesis 13 to be like the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Lot chose to settle there after he had been separated from Abraham. Even though he knew the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. God visited Abraham, we know that story well, and revealed his intention to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleaded for the lives of Lot and his family. And God graciously agreed to spare Sodom if only 10 righteous people were found there. Having witnessed Sodom's depravity, the angels God had sent advised Lot to take his entire family out of the city, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Although he had seen the perversions firsthand, Lot failed to grasp the urgency of the situation. The angels literally had to pull him and his wife and two daughters out of the city by hand. Still hesitant, Lot convinced the angels to allow them to flee to Zoar rather than the nearby mountains because he was afraid some evil would befall him. One of the angels charged him, however, with two commands: do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the plain. Why did she look back? The context does not specifically give us a reason, but she might have had an extreme love for the world and the material things she had in Sodom. Maybe she just loved the ways of the world more than God. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. But when we examine these scriptures closer, there may be more to it than what we might have thought. A lot of people assume that Lot had only two daughters, but that's not the case. He says to the Sodomites, see, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. That's in Genesis chapter 19, verse 8. He had two unmarried daughters. Later in verse 14, it tells us he spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters, meaning he had other married daughters who were not virgins. Finally, the angels tell him, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. That's in verse 15, implying he had daughters elsewhere. Since Lot and his wife had more than two daughters, they left more than just material possessions in the city. When God rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom, their married daughters and their sons-in-law, and possibly their grandchildren, perished with the rest of the city's population. What a test of faith that would be. We need to imagine ourselves in that position. What would we do? So when Lot's wife fled for Zoar, her health, her wealth, her house, and her social circle were probably not the only things on her mind. Those concerns are probably insignificant compared to the certain death of her flesh and blood. Perhaps she didn't believe that God would follow through on his threat. As a loving mother, her emotions for her doomed family and the city may have clouded her ability to make the right decisions. Jesus makes a pertinent comment in this regard in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Though it goes against our human nature, God requires us to have more allegiance to him than to members of our own family. For us as his people, leaving family members behind to do God's will may be the biggest hardship that we have to face as we come out of this world. Perhaps this is why he reminds us to remember Lot's wife. The day may soon come when we will have to heed God's warnings without hesitation and flee. When God commands his elect to flee to a place of safety, many of us will be required to entrust unconverted family members to God's mercy. Without doubt, this will be the greatest test of our spiritual lives. We will know that before us lie life and hope, and behind us death and destruction, just as Lot and his family experienced in fleeing Sodom. We live in a country today where sin is discussed and displayed daily. Some of our own major cities could easily compare to Sodom and Gomorrah. In this country today, some of our cities and towns have homosexual mayors and others who flaunt their perversions in public. Gay rights is a major social concern to those who practice such things. Though sexual corruption is a sin most associated with Sodom, the people of that city displayed other evil traits. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50, it lists some of the other sins. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. Look, this is the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Sometime in the not too distant future, we may be tested as Lot and his family were when God calls us to flee. We may have family members living hundreds of miles away. Children may be away at college in another state. A spouse may be away on a business trip or a few miles away at work. Will we have the faith to put those family members' lives in God's hands and leave without hesitation? Are we convinced that God will provide a way of escape for us as well as them? Today on the Dead Sea's western shore stands a pillar of salt known as Lot's wife. This monument is a perpetual reminder of a woman who allowed her human nature to turn her from the express command of God. In a critical moment, she took her eyes off the goal. Christ warns that we can't allow the same thing to happen to us. The clearest lesson from that warning ties in with Christ's earlier assertion in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It says that no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We can't get so caught up in this temporary world that we lose sight of the kingdom. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 24. Luke chapter 17, verse 24. What should really give us pause is the context of Christ's warning in verse 24. The Pharisees had asked when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus warned his disciples not to fall for anyone's false alarms. Verse 24, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. It would, in other words, be sudden and impossible to miss. Just as important, it would catch the world by surprise. Like the flood in the days of Noah, and like the fire and brimstone that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In verses 28 through 30, it tells us, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The event will be sudden, sweeping judgment on a world determined to ignore or oppose God's commandments. With the days of Noah and the days of Lot as a backdrop for the arrival of the kingdom of God, Jesus continued in verse 31. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And there it is in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. What happens on the day when the Son of Man is revealed? It tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The return of Jesus Christ is the moment when the faithful servants of God are transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. It's the moment when the corruptible puts on incorruption, when the mortals put on immortality, when death is swallowed up in victory, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. Is it possible for us, the people of God, the people of the way, to come right up against the moment of our ultimate salvation and then look back? Can we get so attached to social media, politics, and other things in this world that when the time comes to leave, we're not ready? Could this be our reality and we don't even realize it? Could it be we get so involved in the world around us, we don't even realize we've lost our crown? We know what's coming. We know who parades himself as the God of this world. We know who wants us to be distracted and looking to anything but the truth. We know he's the master of making good look evil and evil look good. When the time comes to go, will we miss what we're leaving behind? Will we look back? Brethren, we have to let go of the world now if we want to be ready for the future that's ahead of us. A future where, in God's magnificent kingdom, we'll be fixing everything that the God of this age has broken and perverted. We know the God family now consists of two beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ, our elder brother and soon coming King. But when Jesus Christ returns, we will be born sons and daughters of God. And the God family will rule all the nations, and the government of God will be established to reign forever and ever. Brethren, what an amazing and exciting time that will be.